primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in Defense Condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
All right, good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Welcome to the perfect triangle. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And now, the perfect triangle.
Buon compleanno. Happy birthday to Giuseppe. 5 days ago, I completed my 61st spin around the sun. Wow, time races by. I was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I have memories dating back to when I was 16 months old. I have vivid memories from 1962 to the present day. I have fond memories of a better time for this country. I remember when I was 4 years old, our family took a ride to Kenosha, Wisconsin, about 45 miles south. We took a trip to attend a big picnic party a high school friend of my father's, who had moved down to Kenosha, was throwing. We lived in the Italian district of Milwaukee. We didn't go very far in those days. I was the oldest of four children being born annually, so that long trip was unusual for us. Many paisan had moved to Kenosha. There was a giant American Motors plant there, plentiful living wage factory jobs for a high school graduate were in abundance. A father could work such a job and provide for his family a comfortable home that they actually owned. Plenty of food, clothing, and toys for the family. The father's job could afford two cars, one for dad to drive to work, one for mom to run the errands and take the kids to the park to play. If the family was sensible with their income, there was even enough left over for some modest luxuries, such as a vacation or a boat. Life was truly good for a working man in Kenosha back then. Kenosha, like much of the United States, has changed for the worse. On my birthday, to my horror, I watched a video from Kenosha of police seeking to arrest a violent black criminal whose multiple offenses included the rape of a 15-year-old girl. A real man, a providing father, would have surrendered peacefully to the police in front of his children, his jewels in the crown. This was not the case for 29-year-old Jacob Blake. The officers tased the selfish black reprobate as he resisted arrest on the passenger side of a street parked car. But the massive voltage charge did not stop him. Tasers often do not work on individuals high on powerful narcotic cocktails or synthetic designer drugs. A video from another angle showed that Blake shrugged off the taser and had a small concealed sling blade knife in his left hand. The criminal walked around the front of the car to the driver's door as police ordered him to submit. Police continued attempts to subdue Blake as he opened the driver's door with his children allegedly seated in the back. With the knife in his left hand, Blake reached down with his right hand into the door well, probably for a gun. He was then shot multiple times by the police. Of course, all viewers of that video on Sunday knew what was coming next in the United States of clown world. Kenosha would burn. Blake would become an instant millionaire via donations from the weak-minded. Shortly after the Blake video hit the internet, hundreds upon hundreds of violent Antifa BLM professional and amateur anarchists rolled into Kenosha from nearby Chicago and Milwaukee. Kenosha burned. The lying fake news corporate propagandists referred to the hellish video footage behind them as peaceful protesting. Once again, BLM stood for burn, loot, and murder. Kenosha burned for three straight nights. First-time Democratic Wisconsin governor, former school marm, cowardly Tony Evers, refused to send in the National Guard to maintain order. That left it to local store owners to defend their shops any way they could. Enter 17-year-old patriot Kyle Rittenhouse. I was shocked and horrified to see the video of this young man who volunteered, armed with a semi-automatic weapon and a med kit, to protect the livelihoods of small business owners. This young, naive hero was viciously attacked by a mob of raging Bolsheviks. Coming at Rittenhouse with murder in their eyes were a convicted pedophile, a violent domestic abuser, and a felony burglar. Fine Soros acolytes. Rittenhouse was clearly trained in combat and survival techniques. He bravely fought off three different murder attempts. In clear self-defense, Rittenhouse killed two individuals and blew the right bicep off a third assailant. Young Kyle should be hailed as a hero. Instead, he was charged with first-degree murder by the corrupt Kenosha District Attorney, a Soros loyalist. More videos appeared. Gruesome footage of a young man dying from a gunshot wound to his right parietal skull area. Moments earlier, this man, Jojo Rosenbaum, was shrieking taunts at young Rittenhouse. He attacked young Rittenhouse with deadly intent. One shot, then Rosenbaum lies dying of a head wound. It is said every villain is the hero of the story in his mind. Rosenbaum, 36, was a convicted sex offender who had raped a teenage girl years earlier. Justice is served, I thought. Then it hit me. I am so desensitized to this nonstop violence, this nonstop insanity, that a poor misguided fool dies, and I think good riddance. Then a wave of immense sorrow hit me. All these young men's lives were destroyed. For what? The mothers must now live with this horrible loss. Families forever damaged. For what? Tears slowly filled my eyes. The water of life. All these young men could have been, should have been raised properly in a structured, loving, disciplined family environment. The home a dependable living wage would provide. A stable home two married parents offer. Every one of those five young men were pawns on a chessboard of the true evil of this narrative. An evil so vile It has existed for 6,000 years. The Babylonian Talmudic death cult known as the Synagogue of Satan, today known as the globalist parasites, the central banksters, or as the great Henry Ford named them, the internationalist Jew. These minions literally serve the pure evil of an otherworldly consciousness that exists beyond time. The Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Schiffs, the Soroses, the Bushes, the Clintons, the Gates, the thousands of dual citizen traders, all Satanists that make up the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Davos Group, the Bilderbergers, and many more you have never heard of. The globalist parasites are a malevolent cancer that has eaten away at every aspect of this rotting, decaying country. The globalists stole countless living wage factory jobs, sending millions of families into a perpetual downward spiral of despair, addiction, violence, and hatred. The globalist parasites have saddled young Americans with ever-growing student loan compound interest debt the past 30 years, while eliminating countless living wage white-collar jobs, vital to repay that debt. These young gamers and celebrity worshippers mutilate their bodies in desperate statements of mass uniqueness, dying to be seen as special. They work for peanuts, making coffee, serving food, or some other low-paid gig economy function that barely allows them to make the rent and afford drugs and alcohol to numb their pain. Own a home? Own a nice car? Go on vacation? Impossible. Because of this hopelessness, tens of thousands of lost children have turned into violent, nihilistic communists championing phony causes such as Antifa and BLM. Millions more passively support this madness while living in their parents' homes. I dabbed my eyes and took several deep calming breaths. I looked inside to connect with the divine spark that animates me, the Great Spirit. For Christians, it is the ultimate perfect triangle: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the divine energy that flows through all reality. 3,000 years before Christianity, Chinese monks described this divine energy that animates all things. The monks did not humanize their discovery. They simply called it the Tao, the way, the flow. These monks wrote the Tao Te Ching, the Book of the Way. Even though I was raised Catholic and deeply embraced the unconditional love of the Christ consciousness, I have come to find great insight and comfort in the Tao Te Ching, a book which offers readers timeless wisdom without all the personality-driven subplots of the Bible. The Taoist monks also had a more sophisticated analysis of the divine spark that animates us, the soul. Taoists identified there are actually two souls, the Han, the eternal, ethereal soul that returns to the Creator, and the Po, the corporeal soul, the conscious personality that remains with the body and dies as well. It seems these Satanists have become quite adept at entrancing the Po and easily manipulate billions of sleepwalkers with the relentless assaults on the mind via the mass media entertainment industrial complex. Lies are truth now for so many. Slavery is freedom. It is time for us to change this. Those of us who are awake must heed the advice of Dr. Masaru Emoto, the author of the mind-blowing book, The Hidden Messages of Water. I highly recommend that book because it will just literally change your perspective on almost everything. Emoto did a remarkable series of experiments. He exposed water to beautiful things such as classical music and phrases sincerely spoken such as, "I love you." He then exposed water to toxic, hateful stimuli such as rap music and angry phrases such as, "I hate you." Emoto photographed water molecules and all... pardon me, Emoto photographed water molecules after exposure to vibrational love or hate. The water molecule shape altered greatly depending on the exposure it felt. Loving messages created beautiful lattice structures, divine sublime works of art. Hateful stimuli created ugly, damaged, painful structures. Did you know humans are 60% water? We are constantly assaulted by vulgar, hateful, violent images thanks to the globalist media industrial complex. Since humans are 60% water, what is this hateful pollution doing to us? What can we do to bathe our water in loving energy? Emoto has a suggestion. If you feel lost, disappointed, hesitant, or weak, return to yourself, to who you are, here and now. And when you get there, you will discover yourself like a lotus flower in full bloom, even in a muddy pond, beautiful and strong. From the Tao Te Ching, the highest good is like water, which benefits all things and contends with none. It flows to low places that others disdain, and thus is close to the Tao. We who do not wear masks, we who do not believe any globalist lies, are bitterly disdained upon these days. Yet we are awake, beautiful, and strong. We must resonate this divine harmony. We must flow with this divine love and awaken more sleepwalkers. Lotus flowers must bloom worldwide. This is how, in these dark days, we defeat the Satanists. It is a useless waste of time to argue with an entranced mind, a mask wearer. Jesus the Christ said, turn the other cheek. In my opinion, not to show weakness, but to resonate a quiet strength and radiate a divine love, which is the only chance to awaken these satanically mind-controlled lost souls. One person I know who is wakey-wakey is none other than the Intrepid Scorpio, my co-host and host of one of the top-rated Revolution radio shows, Operation Scorpio, Exploring the Known and Unknown. You can listen to Operation Scorpio live on Studio A every Saturday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern. How are you resonating today, Scorpio?
Oh, very good. Giuseppe, that was a insightful and thought-provoking introduction, and I liked how you ended on the spiritual note, because ultimately that is the biggest piece of the puzzle, is the spiritual.
Well, it's interesting, and it's so true, and thank you for the compliment. I worked very hard on that one, because we're getting to a point on my birthday when I saw that shooting in Kenosha and the days that followed of the madness, so hellish. It dawned on me that we can't fight the entrancement with argument, right? Because that the power of love, of divine love, animates and creates this reality. All the Satanist can do is try to entrance people into believing in him. He has no power to create. So, I mean, if we can, enough of us, I really believe, can resonate that type of love, more people will wake up. I think it's the only way to reach these hypnotized lost souls.
Yes, but of course some people don't want to be reached, and they're going to stay in their paradigm that they choose to be in. I just want to make a brief comment. You were talking about these riots in Kenosha. Yeah, and you know what's interesting is, you know, occasionally I'll watch, you know, Amy Goodman and some of the other far left commentators. It's kind of like watching enemy war footage. But, you know, Amy Goodman was putting the spin that kid with the rifle had just fallen over, and that the peaceful protesters were trying to take his weapon from him and disarm him. And then, of course, you know, if you watch the actual tape, one of those kids hit him over the head with a skateboard. So we're being set up to have very different perceptions of what happened during that event.
Oh, my goodness. I know. It just is, again, the lying globalist media. Well, today's perfect triangle, the three sides, are heroes, villains, and the stories we tell. Our featured guest, T. tells remarkable real world stories of truth, of innovations in health, in business, in life itself. Sarah Westall is an entrepreneur and has built successful businesses. She has also run afoul of the globalists but refused to be defeated. Instead, she has become a muckraking journalist podcaster who has reached millions of viewers the past several years with her cutting-edge truths and insights. Sarah, welcome to The Perfect Triangle.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's truly an honor. I've been a fan of yours. In fact, Scorpio and I were discussing before the show how we both really admire your acumen to pull in so many interesting guests, and it's always very relevant and timely. How do you manage to put together that much original content week after week?
I don't know. I just let it come to me. It's really kind of strange, isn't it? I get motivation from people, and then I just say, okay, it's going to come. And then it does. I don't know. And I don't know why it's always so timely. I kind of have a feel for it, I guess. And people give me leads, and it just is all coming together. I think the reason why I'm able to do it is because the mass media is so bad. Media is so bad that there's room for somebody like me to come in and be able to have access to the best people everywhere. And it at first it was just so amazing for me. Now I'm used to it, but it truly is that situation because the information and the people I interview, like this week, I interviewed, three superior court cases or Supreme Court, depending on what country you're in. I've interviewed Rocco Galati, who is suing the government of Canada at the superior court level. I just interviewed Simon Dolan, who is suing the England, the Queen, and the health ministers in England. And they just won their appeal because at first they knocked him down, and now they're going back at it. And then I interviewed Dwight Mitchell, who is suing at the Supreme Court level, the Child Protective Services. And it's Child Protective Services have never lost a case against anybody. And so this is a landmark case in the United States. And so, you know, I'm all these cases, it's like, why would I be able to do that? And that's because the media is so bad. And these cases are huge. They're worldwide, very important cases. And, Child Protective Services, while you think it might just be a U.S. thing, there's people all over the world that are having a lot of these same problems. And I'm telling you, it's if the media is doing their job, you would think they'd be interviewing people like this.
Absolutely.
Yes, Sarah. Hi, this is Scorpio. You're right. The media is really that bad. And, I've been saying for some time that the mainstream media is fully weaponized against the public now. And I was wondering what you thought about this, this diversion of thought they're creating with, Amy Goodman and other far left commentators saying that the kid in Kenosha with the gun, he just fell over and the peaceful protesters were trying to disarm him. But if you watch the actual video, of course, some kid whacked him over the head with a skateboard pretty hard. So what do you think about this deliberate attempt to deceive the public on this latest event?
Oh, gosh. I just was on another show talking about the media and their deception. They are complicit. If you want me to go all in, I'll tell you what I really think of them. I think they're complicit in the crime against humanity right now, because if you want to talk virus and the fact that 14 times more people in Canada have died from mandates than the actual virus using their numbers, South Africa thinks it's 29 times the rate, 29 times more people. And this is before the 130 million children are going to die of starvation. And they're just propagating fear and all these things that these mandates are absolutely necessary. And these numbers are coming out and they're still propagating it. And they're the mouthpiece of this evil. And now we're talking about all these riots where we have, I truly believe based on my sources and people I've been interviewing and just, you know, all the journalism that I'm doing and investigation, that this is an outside the country source. It's being funded by, you know, people in our country who are traitors, and then people outside our country who are wanting to take down the United States. So you have this left. I don't even think it's left, because it's not left, right. If you're going to be destroying this country, you're not on the left. That's not traditional left. The traditional left isn't that, destroy the United States. I'm to the point now where I think we have one party in this country. We have the Republican Party. That's Trump's pretty much in the middle right now. I think we just have one party. The Democrat Party has been taken out by an outside force that wants to destroy the United States. And so a person who's awake, who can open their eyes, there's only one party right now. And part of me is like, well, is it better to have just one party and then essentially we have 2,000 parties, because everybody then can do whatever and we have this huge umbrella of everything? But, you know, that would be nice. But we're sitting in that situation where the only party that actually cares, and do they really care? I don't know. I mean, is Trump really for the people? I would say actions matter the most, and his actions seem a lot better. There's things I don't like that wonder if it's totally for the people, but the mass majority of the stuff seems like it's for the people. You might not agree with the actual, what they're actually doing on every single policy, but I think overall it seems like that's the only person out there. And all the war hawks, there's just an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal where a lot of them switched to support Biden because, you know, they were in the Republican Party and they switched to support Biden. These are all the neocons. So, I mean, we're sitting in a situation where we've never been in this country. Maybe Bill Benny when he was on my show, he says that this is the most dangerous time since the Civil War. And that's what he's referring to, you know, and we can talk about ShadowNet and those types of software. I don't know what word you want to use, but it's the functionality that these things have. And I can talk about that a little bit. I think you guys have to go to commercial break, right?
Yeah, we're going to break, Sarah. What a wonderful opportunity this is to talk with a real muckraker. We'll be back after the break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway, left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
Uh-oh. It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to The Perfect Triangle. We're joined tonight by a true shining beacon of trustworthy truth in the alternative media, Sarah Westall. And we were discussing in the first half hour about how truly corrupt, how truly disinformational, how truly propagandist all corporate mainstream media has become. And Revolution Radio is not like that. We are committed to free speech, committed to the individual freedoms that are divinely entitled to us, but nothing is free. And so no one gets paid here. It's all donated time, but we need you to donate a little bit and keep us going in this fight. If you look at the top of the website, you could buy some cool Revolution Radio swag at the Zazzle store. You can make a donation, or even better, for a few more days, the archives of 24 hours, 7 days a week, Studio A and Studio B are free. But come September 1st, we ask that you become a Patreon subscriber and also become a Patreon subscriber of Sarah Westall as well. For a small monthly donation, you will get a password and you can continue to have access to thousands of hours of interesting discussions, interviews, and insightful real journalism, which is in short supply. But one real journalist that I follow regularly and I support her on Patreon is Sarah Westall. And Sarah, you were talking about just how vast the media industrial complex influence is and how really problematic that is.
Well, and you think about the amount of people who have died. I like to use this stat because it shows you how messed up it is that when you think about the number of people who have died from the mandates versus the virus, and yet they're still pushing these mandates, it's at what point is it complicit in manslaughter or murder or I mean, you could get really serious about this.
So when we're saying mandates, do we mean the wear a mask mandate, the stay locked in your home mandate, those type of mandates?
Yeah, the shutting down the business, the lockdowns, you know, the destroying our economy, the social distancing so people are feel alone and trapped in their homes, the losing their jobs, the millions that have lost their jobs. When you lose your job and you're alone and trapped, I mean, think of that. You know, we have children that aren't going to school. They can't socialize with their peers like they used to. The social distancing and masks for children is, according to the top pediatric hospital in the world, or they were ranked that, however you want to look at that, they say that it's long-term trauma for children. And I've talking to other psychologists, and they're saying that children with these kinds of elements that they put in, mandates that they're putting in place, they're not able to bond properly with their peers. Anybody who has kids knows that once they become teenagers, you know, middle school, they don't really want to be around their parents anymore. And it's a natural progression because they're bonding with their peers and not with you anymore. And they need to do this so that they can grow and mature into adults. And they're not able to bond properly with their peers, you know, and part of that is being able to touch, each other, be able to see body language and facial expressions and all these things that they're not able to do. And so what kind of long-term trauma is that going to cause? And that's what we're worried about. So, okay, so that's an issue, but there's a starvation around the world because of all the supply chains. And I mean, this is really serious, and they keep propagating fear, you know, and if you go to the riots that you were talking about at first, the problem with not acknowledging that there's violence here, you know, I understand that there are a lot of peaceful riots and these people hijacked the protests that they really wanted to have. And maybe that's what they should be saying, is these people need to be taken out because they're hijacking the real protesters. And if they would have done that and allowed the other people to protest, then they'd have credibility. But they're not. They're lying and saying lying by omission, and then flat out lying and saying there isn't violence, when there's been more people who have been killed by these riots and protests than the people who have been shot by police. Black people have been shot by police this year. So this is ridiculous.
It's absolutely insane. In fact, this is such a global operation. I mean, look at the buzzwords they're using, the new normal, the great reset. It is just beyond infuriating to me that all these neoliberal, weak-minded nanny state Gibbons talk about that isn't science. That isn't science. They act like they know what science is. And yet what you're seeing, the damage done to these children, and I didn't pull you in early enough for you to hear my entire introduction, but I grew up and born and raised in Milwaukee and Kenosha when I was a little boy. I just turned 61 last Sunday, to Kenosha now, and what the globalist agenda has done to this country and destroyed the working class and destroyed the ability of one living wage income to keep a family together. And it's devastating. And now they're going even further, because there is no real evidence that any of this scamdemic was necessary. No, you didn't need masks. You definitely don't need social distancing. That's just such a bizarre made up quirk. Some people think it's to try and train the satellites to be able to, I don't know, there's all kinds of remarkable theories, but the bottom line is, you're exactly right. What they're doing to this country, what they're doing to the citizens, to me it seems like it's all a long-hatched plan to destroy the sovereignty of this country and other countries and create this movement towards a bipolar globalist agenda, where there'll be the Chinese pole and under that sway of influence, and then there'll be the Western pole and under the sway of influence of, take your pick, Israel, the European Union, whatever. But, I mean, you know, so then we'll be in the North American Union, and they'll mandate vaccines, they'll mandate whatever. You have to have your nice social credit score. Otherwise, you're paid digitally, so suddenly you lose access to your money. It's just insane. And yet, it seems to me like that's what they're after. What do you think?
Well, there's an operation for sure going on, right? That is, what is their operation? I think there's a number of different agendas. And I want to do some studying on what came out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, with the central bankers this past week. That will give you a lot of indication, too, on how quickly they want to implement this. Because a lot of it's coming, or all of it's probably coming from the top down. But right. Did you hear what happened in New Zealand? I mean, this is where New Zealand and Australia, I think, are being test grounds. It's a petri dish of them trying to figure out what to do, because there's no reason to treat these poor people like that. There was a woman, they finally arrested somebody and threw her in jail. You know, they've been talking about it, and they did it. And she was there on a 10-day, or she was on a quarantine. And after 10 days, she wanted to leave and go to see, she was tested negative, she wasn't infected, and she was on a quarantine, and she broke the quarantine to go see one of her parents' funerals. And because she didn't listen to the authorities, they put her in prison. And, you know, you hear stories like that, and these people aren't people. You know, this is not humanity. This is beyond what the Nazis did, except they're doing it to all of us. And thank God we're not in New Zealand, but we got to protect our rights so that that doesn't happen here. But New Zealand is a Western country. I mean, they are supposedly, you know, they operate Australia. I think that they're testing things out on these poor people and seeing what people can handle and how they operate and react. And we last thing we want to do, that's why our constitution is so important. They couldn't do it here. We're armed. The fact that we have guns and we have a constitution really helps us a lot. And so, you know, when people argue about taking, you know, wanting to get rid of weapons, they are, this is why you keep your weapons. You know, what's funny is there's more people, first time gun buyers than any time. I'm one of them. I never had a gun. Now I have my carry license and everything else. And there are so many Democrats, people who are anti-guns, that are now buying guns. At first time in history, it's because they're like, oh, this is why we need guns. You know, it's not just theoretical anymore. It's not just people talking about, it's not just paranoid people that live on ranches. It's for real.
Yeah, well, you know, before this spike in gun ownership, they said that Barack Obama was the greatest gun salesman America ever had.
Yeah.
So, and it's being repeated now. And, you know, what I'm seeing from this whole COVID, Operation COVID situation that we're all facing is that it's the greatest show of raw power and force that we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And so I was wondering, where do you think the central source of this power to mandate, you know, COVID rules all over the world, where do you think this power emanates from?
Well, that's why I want to see what Jackson Hole, Wyoming, what came out of the central bankers. I think it's a central bankers top down. There's incentives for what they do, mandates. From what I understand, and I got to do a little bit more research on this, but I've been reading on it that the countries that don't follow the mandates don't have access to the funding that they need, the loans they need. They get cut off.
Oh, that's absolutely true. The IMF will not give loans to countries that won't follow the mandates. And that's absolutely true. That's how they've enslaved so many of these countries, is through IMF loans.
Yeah, but I think they've went so far as to include now the COVID mandates and things. And they're also talking about, this is what the meeting last year in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, that's the annual meeting for the central bankers around the world. It's in the United States, but they're all there. And last year they talked about creating a banker's dictatorship, essentially, where they would control the budgets of the countries. They want to do a worldwide digital currency. They want to go around the governments to create budgets based on the carbon tax, carbon, like the manufacturers that have low carbon will have access to loans and the ones that have higher carbon will not. And we all know that the whole carbon, that whole thing is quack science. But they're using it because they want to push certain manufacturers and other ones they don't want to push. And, you know, when there's been, I think this is all tied to eugenics as well, on what they're doing and what they're planning. Cause you do know that they're trying to put out this, I mean, they're crazy people. If you look at what they actually say, they are talking about, doing a worldwide takeover and a globalism. And they're talking about that certain people, there'll be a pushback, and these people who we might lose, or we will lose millions in this process, but overall it'll be worth it. That those kind of comments are coming out of these people's mouths and are being documented. And so I'm not making it up. It sounds like I'm making this stuff up and I'm a crazy person, but these people are really saying these things. And you have to take it seriously, because that's where all this is coming from. They want a centralized, controlled technocracy/communist. You know, you can understand technocracy the most by looking at communism. That's it's complete control. They act like it is, it's for everybody. It's for the welfare of everybody. But in reality, it's for the welfare of whoever's in charge. You know, they mandate what they want. And they get away with what they want. So like in New York, there's those lockdown procedures that they have and the quarantine mandates of in and out of the city. But guess who got a pass on that? the celebrities that are going to an event. And so every other normal person has to do these quarantine lockdown procedures, but the celebrities get to go in and out and get around all the rules. So it's rules for average people like you and me. But if you are somebody they care about or you have clout, you don't have to follow it.
Sarah, you're in the right place to not be perceived as crazy for making those statements here. I mean, there's some really fascinating hosts who go way, way farther and pretty much prove their point. The other interesting thing is that it is such a effort for technocratic hegemony, because if you look at the inadvertent results of the lockdown, the first one, when we weren't really sure if it was an actual pandemic or not, within a few weeks, the canals in Venice cleared, the skies cleared, nature, animals could enter all these cities. I mean, nature healed so quickly. The whole idea of the carbon problem and the irrevocable damage that's being done is just ludicrous. And the scam of the Green New Deal, they've been chomping at the bit for 20, well, longer. It's Al Gore is what? He's 96, almost a quarter century to be able to tax the average person and create another pseudo bubble with these carbon tax credits. It's always about the globalist banking parasites creating a new bubble. It's just so insane.
It is insane. And the problem is they've taken it too far this time, where millions of people are going to die. And so then you start going, okay, well, is that their plan? Because now they know that millions more people are dying from this than the virus. So they must be doing this on purpose, right? Because you'd stop it immediately. But they have to be. They're complicit in death. And so now all these conspiracy theories that they were pointing at and laughing at have been proven true.
Well, right. Are you aware of the 2010 Rockefeller Institute report that laid out the future threats to humanity, and from the worst to the most modest? They had four scenarios, and the worst one was called Operation Lockdown. And that reads like you're a newspaper reporter reporting what has gone on the last 6 months. So they had this planned a long time. Ironically, 2010 is also when Bill Gates began his effort to create a vaccine monopoly and to be the messiah of vaccines. So to me, these are not events happening in a vacuum. This is all planned out and coming to fruition now. Speaking of Bill Gates, what do you think of that guy?
Well, he's a eugenicist and he's a depopulation freak, I think. When you look at who he funds, you got to follow the money, and he's funded depopulation charities. He's given millions of dollars to charities that are about population control, whatever means necessary, kind of in their agendas. And I don't remember the name of the company or the organization that he supports, but I know he's given about $11 million to one organization just recently. And he also has done things like in Ghana, where he did the depopulation vaccine, where they had just girls and women of childbearing age, and they told them it was for, I think it was malaria. I don't remember what disease it was for, but in reality, they were pumping them with a hormone that messed up their ability to have children. And this is very well documented. And what happened was the Catholic cardinals realized that this was going on. Wait a minute, it's only childbearing women, and you're not following the same protocols, and what's going on? And then they had six independent labs test the vaccine, and they figured it out that they're sterilizing these women. And 26, all the cardinals in the entire country came together and pointed them out and kicked them out of the country. This is in Ghana, but right now they're working in Africa. I don't remember what country. And they're working with MasterCard and Gavi and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to do the trust stamp, where they're working with poor Africans to put a little microchip of some sort so they can track these people's health records and bank accounts, you know, and they're disguising it as a vaccine. Well, that's not a vaccine. That's a human guinea pig tracking device. And these are really well documented. All this is happening. And then in India, they paralyze hundreds of thousands of children. And that's been very well documented as well. And, you know, so you listen to this Bill Gates character. Everybody, I have an engineering computer science background, and everybody knew that he was a complete a-hole. You know, and what happened is he got caught doing antitrust and monopoly type maneuvers, and they wanted to rebrand him. So they got him involved in these charities to make him look like a philanthropist. And then he realized, wow, there's a lot of money to making vaccines. Plus, my dad was the head of Planned Parenthood, this eugenicist operation. And I believe in that too. So, hey, I make more money doing this, killing people. So then he went out there and turned his image around, made a ton of money, more money for Microsoft, because now he's looked at this philanthropist. That's why they use these organizations, the Bill and Hillary or the Clinton Foundation. Oh my God, were they evil? But man, does that work to have a charity organization and make yourself look like you're great. You know, I'm getting off topic here, but I've had hosts that are pretty popular who have told me what they thought of me. But before that, they've sent me some kind of religious thing about how great, you know, some spiritual thing. And the next thing I know, crossed in the mail, this happened to me. I'm not going to tell you who this did this. Crossed the mail, and they were swearing at me and all these things about how I was covering. And there's a lot of censorship by beating people up behind the scenes. And I don't go for that. And they didn't like who I was interviewing. And yet they sent me in the mail this religious thing and this notebook. And I'm thinking, God, you know, these people are so hypocritical. It happens everywhere. But Bill Gates, he gets up on I don't know, some interview and talking and telling people that this is all conspiracy theory and people are nuts and all we're trying to do is help people with this vaccine and blah, blah, blah. At the same time, he's doing that trust stamp in Africa.
Oh,
go ahead.
It's beyond believable. And to just emphasize your point in India is that they gave half a million young children the polio vaccine and gave them all polio. And then they had the hubris, the chutzpah to claim that they had eradicated polio. And they did was rename it flaccid leg syndrome. They're patting themselves on the back and not taking any credit for it. And everything else you're saying is fully documented. And it's insane with this guy. And it just makes no sense that people buy it.
Yeah, and the poor people in India, these children were all paralyzed.
Right, right.
Gosh.
But hey, Bill, he wiped out polio. Oh, we got a little problem with this flaccid leg syndrome. But hey, polio's gone. It's just so obscenely ridiculous. And, you know, look at his – remember, I don't know if you've back in the 80s and 90s, they made this series of horror movies called Tales from the Crypt based on the – 1950s dark comic books by the fellow William Gaines, who also did Mad Magazine. And, you know, to me, Gates is like the satanic organ grinder, and his vampiric little monkey dancing is Tony Fauci. And Fauci has been kept in power for 50 years. And Fauci's the reason in 1986 he lied to Reagan and convinced Reagan to give immunity to the vaccine industry, which is called the biologics industry by the big pharma. And it's crazy that had Reagan, you know, stuck to his guns and been a real free market conservative, they would have been sued out of business decades ago. And what would have risen from the ashes were companies that actually delivered safe products. Instead, they're in this race now to produce this ridiculous corona vaccine. As you well know, the coronavirus is the common cold. It's in every mammal. It's in reptilians. It's everywhere. It's omnipresent. And yet we're going to suddenly tweak a human's DNA with an RNA snippet, which we don't know what we're doing. And that's going to solve the problem. I mean, it's so shockingly outrageous. And yet, you know, everybody's, I'm really disappointed in Trump. We got to get that vaccine by November. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? Who would take this vaccine? I mean, would you take this vaccine?
Well, gosh, anybody who's great, you just wouldn't. I've had some people tell me, and I don't have any proof, so this is me not being a good journalist and repeating something, but it makes sense. I mean, the stuff is so weird that they've had this vaccine ready for a while, because I just, you know, the idea that they're going to put out a vaccine that hasn't even been tested on animals, it's going to cause, they were worried about flooding the hospitals before. There's going to be millions of people that are going to need to be hospitalized. I don't know what the hell they're doing, but I sure the heck don't want to be me or my children or my parents or anyone I know take this vaccine. I think you'd have to be absolutely crazy. But, you know, it went farther. Legislations went farther than the act in, what, 86, where they got rid of the liability for vaccines, which why they upped the dose, you know, the amount that kids have to get now. But they did the PrEP Act, and the PrEP Act actually allows the government to do unlimited funding for vaccines in case of a pandemic. And so they're getting,
how convenient.
Yeah, they're getting, this just happened within the last, I think it was 2015, it's something like that. I don't remember the exact date when this thing went through, but it allows the government, so you're gonna be paid to do the vaccine, and then there's no liability on the backside. So it's
this, oh my God,
huge money making adventure. So is that what they're doing? I don't know. That's just in the United States, but this is a worldwide deal. So then you start wondering, you know, what's going on worldwide. It's a farce, however you look at it. And this is the stuff that the mass media won't cover. They're obviously, even Fox News, they push this too. Everyone's pushing vaccine. So right. Everyone is pushing it except the independent media.
True.
And, you know.
Well, here we go. We're at the top of the hour. Sarah, hold that thought. And we'll be back for hour two of The Perfect Triangle.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible!
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs!
Roundtable Live Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of The Perfect Triangle. I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffanculo. Joined with my co-host, Scorpio, we're joined by a true beacon of honest journalism in the alt media, Sarah Westall. You know, Sarah, you've experienced censorship. So has just about every truth teller. What is your take on this insane amount of censorship by the globalist media?
Well, that's what they are, is they're in on whatever this agenda is. I've had 10 of my shows with doctors and PhDs. That's the trend. It wasn't just random other ones. It was people who are respected doctors and PhDs were removed from my channel, 10 of them. And their information has turned out now over time to be accurate. And the information that the CDC and these other so-called experts put out is not accurate. But yet they deleted those and not the others. So they're deleting science, and they're not letting anything that gets in the way of their BS, you know, out there. The problem is that's technocracy, is they want to control the narrative of science. But, you know, we see it as awful science and quackery, but we got to understand that their goal is, then this is what Sarah, my technocracy guy, everybody knows him. His last name is Wood.
Patrick Wood.
Patrick, I'm so sorry. Well, we were talking on the phone, and I was just asking questions, and I was just really upset about something. And we talked about it and talked it through, but we had a really great conversation about, because I was on that trip that, you know, this is quack science, and they know it's quack science, and how can this be technocracy if it's they're doing this? You know, that doesn't make sense. And I had to work that out in my mind. And his point was, is there absolutely, this is technocracy, but it's because that's not what they're measuring. They're not measuring this. They're measuring the control and the results that they're trying to get from the population. They're trying to control us. They're trying to move the population in a specific direction. And in order to do that, they have to make up this other crap. And so the results that they're looking at aren't the same results that we're looking at. And so it's absolutely technocracy, but you got to look at it from their perspective. And Rocco Galati said the same thing. He said, Sarah, these scientists, the reason why these scientists and all these really great arguments are not working is because they don't play this game. The scientists are pure, and they're trying to win the argument with science and with fact. It's because they don't care about the facts. They're playing a different game. That's why I'm suing them. Because I don't know how, that's the only way we're going to get past this is sue them and shut them down. Because they're not playing the game the way that we think or that scientists think they should. That's why the mass media is controlling everything, is because they're controlling the population. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because it's the only thing that makes sense out of the total quack science and the ludicrous behavior that we're seeing.
Yeah. It's absolutely.
Yeah, and Patrick Wood is spot on about the technocracy, and we're seeing it unveiled quite rapidly with this COVID agenda. That's part of what they're unveiling, is the technocracy, because now we have to listen to the scientists no matter what. And the doctors that can that know about this invisible enemy that you can't see, but it's everywhere, we have to listen to what they say too. So again, it's scientists and doctors are making policy now rather than, you know, people involved in the government. So we're seeing the unveiling of technocracy, no question about it.
Yep. And it's disturbing, to say the least. But, you know, communism is just as disturbing. And, you know, if they think that the world needs less people in order for science and everything to be balanced, they're going to take people out. And who are they going to take out? They're going to take out the people that, I mean, this is hard to know. You know, do they want to just have slaves for them? Or are they going to take out the people who are unworthy to be here because they're not as, like the Nazis did? You know, they have this race that's a superior race, whatever that is. And then that's who they promote. You know, when you look at the CDC, we did some historical views 100 years ago. It was a eugenics program. And what they did, and this is how they thought the unworthy, it was really geared at poor people. They wanted to take the kids out of the unworthy families and put them in worthy families so these kids would be raised right. And what they lacked is the fact that kids that are in loving families, even if they don't have many resources, are in the best place they can be versus taking them out. And if they get into another loving family, fine, but the trauma of removing them is really bad, and not to mention the trauma of the parents losing their children. So it was such an awful thing to do, and now it's spread out across the entire poverty and minorities. And that's a eugenics type activity, where technocracy type mindset, where they want to get rid of the unworthy and give the kids to the worthy, you know. And who are the worthy? Well, people who have more resources. They didn't think about love. They didn't think about, you know, putting, and it, there's multiple agendas that go into this altogether. When you look at the drugs that they put in the inner city to break down the black families, which they've done one hell of a good job, but it spilled over and broke up the families everywhere in the United States. And maybe that was their plan. It really looks like it. And, you know, when I was talking to Dwight Mitchell, he was saying that because he's African-American and he grew up in the 60s. And he said, you know, it was better in the 60s because we didn't have very many resources, but my parents loved me. They expected a lot of me. They demanded that I get A's and B's sometimes, but I had to work hard. He goes, but I had a two-parent household and I'm a product of that environment. And he's a very successful business consultant. He has a company that's been in over 100 countries. Problem is they tried to take his kids and they messed with the wrong person. They didn't realize who he was. And now he's like, he's just doing great. He's gotten 450 kids. He's beaten the CPS system with over 450 kids. And he says he's just starting. And now they're at the Supreme Court taking him on. So it's a great story. And that's a show that I'm going to air soon. But the point is all these things point to these nut job eugenicists that and technocracists that don't understand love. They don't understand the power of other things. They just look at science void of any kind of spirituality. And if they think that we need less people and the science proves that out, no matter how quack their science is, that's what they're going to push. And that's what we're getting. That's what the Nazis pushed. And, you know, are we reliving this? I mean, it really feels like that, but it seems like it's Nazis on steroids.
I think that they
And, you know, there's a lot of parallels between technocracy and communism. Essentially, you know, if you look at it in a certain way, technocracy is sort of just a high-tech version of communism, because it's all about the allotment of resources being decided by the experts and people within government.
Yeah, it's experts. They claim are experts, because one of the things that really bothered me is, okay, but, you know, this is where you have to look at it and say their agenda and their science is different than and their goals are different. But the experts I had on were real experts. They understood the science. The experts you have are a bunch of schmucks that don't. Who's to say they're the experts? You know, Tony Fauci, an expert scientist, he hasn't been a scientist for years. He's probably very smart. He knows what he's doing, but his science isn't what he says it's a science. So who's to say who the experts are? That's the problem. But that's what communism is, too. Who's to say who should be in charge? Well, whoever has the right makes might makes right kind of thing. That's who's in charge.
Well, it's interesting because if you think about it, it all makes sense. The idea that Fauci's corporate science, which is done with statistical modeling with an end goal and then create a narrative that is somewhat believable or plausible to justify the introduction of a new drug or a new vaccine versus someone like Dr. Judy Mikovits, who does real science and has publicly stated her entire career that she only uses data. I would never use modeling. It's a fantastic, honest scientist. And yet she was so vilified by the attack dogs of the media, right? When her latest book, Plague of Corruption, came out. And then if you step back even further, the technocracy or communism, it goes beyond that. It's a spiritual war. I mean, these people are Satanists. They engage in massive child trafficking, child sacrifice, the whole use of adrenochrome.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
It's so insane. And then you look at the brutal nature of lies or truth. It's like we're living in Orwellian. You can't explain it any other way unless you look at literally they serve evil and we, the average decent people, served good, the divine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these people are sick. I've covered child trafficking a lot. It's tied into that. And it has to do with, when you get back to the frequency, and it's hard to understand, but they get off on the negative frequency and the negative emotion and the power of that. And I don't quite understand it because the problem is I don't really want to totally mentally go there because you have to get to really dark places to try to understand why they do what they do. Because it's void of love and it's very negative. But yes, you're right. And so if we have to get rid of these people, because if you're going to have these kind of people running our world and they can do that to children, they will do anything to anybody. They're very, very, very sick. And it's as serious as you can get. You know, the Epstein stuff is a great glimpse into the blackmail system, how it works, but it's still a very vanilla, lightened load, if you will, because they're using teenage girls and pretty girls. And so they're spinning it as if it's just this, you know, older men liking teenage girls. And it gets a lot darker than that. And that's, maybe the public isn't ready for it, but it can get very, very dark, very fast.
Oh, so true.
Well, you mentioned Epstein. It's been fairly well known for some time that, Epstein essentially was, you know, working for the Mossad, and that this whole blackmail operation, you know, was, you know, funded by Jewish oligarchs. What are your thoughts on the Israeli connection in all of this?
I think that, you know, for when I've done a lot of investigation into this, and I think the Mossad, the blackmail was a really functional thing for them to blackmail people. I think that what I understand is Epstein got a little bit out of control, and his own desires got in the way, and so they had to eliminate him. I think that this might be a way to do a limited hangout and to eliminate him at the same time, unfortunately, because they are just all about business. They don't, you know, if you're going to mess with our business, you're going to get out. And I think they saved him once, and the second time they weren't willing to save him. He just was too flagrant and he was too caught up in himself. I think that it's a very serious blackmail operation, and they don't want the world to know. That's how they control world governments and powerful people.
It's interesting that even when they had to cut him off, as effective as he was, they really used him as the kerosene to light the massive fire of Antifa and the Me Too movement. If you think about it, all these women started coming out, and then the massive amount of sexual predation on these young women, and all of a sudden you've got this rolling movement that now can be controlled, and then they never miss a trick, it would seem, don't you think?
Yeah, this is what they do. And to control the narrative, I mean, just to control these people, they'll do whatever it takes to control the people. They think that what's on the line, and when you see how these people operate, maybe that is what's on the line, their whole country, their lives. And so they do whatever it takes to control the whole situation. And whether it's, setting up a honey trap, whether it's doing something with children, you know, the blackmail operation is one thing. The other thing is when these Satanists who have a lot of money, you know, it's the same Jack, the people at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, who they take orders from, those people are Satanists. And it's very scary. It's a religion that has been around since before Jesus Christ. You know, that was the religion before they created a non-sacrificing religion, and it never went away, and these people still follow it. And it's very heavily done in the church. There was a show about the Pope from, what was it, The Family. Oh, did you guys see that show on it was Netflix about the starts with an M, the whatchamacallit family. It was a
the
Pope.
The Medicis.
Yeah. But that was Medici's. Was that the bankers? The Medici's were the bankers, right?
Well, they were the money that supported the artist. But then they also managed to get one of their own to be Pope.
Yeah, but what was the family that was that had popes, and they were actually Luciferians, and they brushed up on all this stuff there. And they had orgies, and they had all these things going on. Oh, anyways, it was the show. What is this family name? I can't remember. I'm sorry. My brain is not working as well today with all these things in my head. Anyways, the Medici's funded a lot of these. You know, they were the funding for the church. But there's a family, and they covered it. And it was played by Jeremy Irons, was the lead character in this. Oh, I'm going to find it. And basically,
yeah, I think it was the Medici's. I think that's correct. I'm pretty sure.
The Borgias.
Borgias. Right. Borgias. Yeah.
Okay. And he was a Pope. And basically, the Medici's was the money family. And they weren't, I mean, they never showed what their religious, you know, how they leaned necessarily. But with these guys, they showed them doing orgies and the naked stuff. And then they showed how they were doing blackmails with all the religious, the cardinals with prostitutes. This was all in the show. And so you'll see stuff being brushed up upon in these mainstream shows, and people just think it's entertainment, but this stuff is real. This stuff really happened. You know, these kinds of things happen. And that's what has been around since, you know, for thousands of years. And these people realize that there's frequencies and other things when you hurt people. They also realize that, you know, there's when you heighten your senses there and your emotions, it brings about, you guys study that, how Satanists think that there's certain ways that you can bring about, open the door of.
Oh, absolutely. Consciousness. Being done at CERN and all that. Yeah.
And part of it, there's a couple ways. It's through orgasm, which is why they're really into sex. It's through killing children, child sex, killing the innocent, you know, a sacrifice.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
There's another way to do it, too. It's so dark. That's what I'm talking about. And that's a whole nother story. You know, that's another thing where they're trafficking children to do these kinds of activities. And that's different from the Epstein blackmail that the Mossad is doing to control the world. Although it's all intertwined, it's different. And they use the church to do the blackmail, and it's completely infiltrated. They put people they can infiltrate, or that they can blackmail easily. A lot of pedophile priests are actually promoted because they're more easily blackmailed and controllable. And
what's really strange is for the first time in history, the Pope is a Jesuit. And of course, the Jesuits have their own Pope, the Black Pope as well. So it's a very strange situation within the Vatican right now.
Well, and some people say he's not really in charge, and that he was brought in to be the face of the Holy See, if you will. But the actual business side is still run by what do you call him? The not Benedict, but who came? Who was right at? Who resigned? He never really resigned. He's still in charge of the business part of it. I interviewed Kevin.
Oh, Joey Ratz, Joey the Rat, Joseph Ratzinger.
Ratzinger. Ratzinger is still there running the business part. And that's what there's an unusual behavior by the Pope, because he does not, people don't kiss his ring. He doesn't sleep at the Vatican. There's all sorts of weird things that doesn't make sense. And so people think that he's more the face of it, and Ratzinger is still involved. The other thing is, you know, I've had interviews with Jimmy Boots, Detective Rothstein, who worked with the first Pope John Paul, that was actually only in office for 30 days and then was killed, because he really was a good guy and wanted to clean up the church. And they killed
him. He was poisoned, right? Yep.
Ratzinger was one of the ones that planned that and was behind it. That
Pope John Paul the first, and I believe he was poisoned 33 days into office, by the way, just coincidentally.
Yep, and he was a good guy. You got to watch my show with Jim Rothstein, which is an amazing guy. You can take it to the bank if he says it. And that's what everybody has told me. And nobody questions what he says, because he's gained so much respect in the industry and amongst people in intelligence. And he tells me Ratzinger killed him, and they were working together to clean it. They brought him in. Rothstein was brought in by the Pope to help clean up the church. It is an amazing story. And Kevin Annette says the same thing. He was the only guy they know of in recent history who was really a good guy. This recent one, Pope Francis, he's a creepo on steroids.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting that Jim Rothstein, I've watched your show with him, and I've watched several Jim Fetzer interviews, and it is just mind-blowing that that guy is still alive. And number two, that he's tried to prosecute so many times, but they control the judges, they control the prosecutors. It always gets dismissed. It's like, how is this ever going to be fixed and vanquished if there's no real justice system anymore?
Yeah, our justice system is completely messed up. Well, and it gets back to the whole, you know, everybody being blackmailed and stuff. And so the Mossad blackmailing people to protect themselves because they know this is this messed up? Or are they behind all this stuff? You don't know. And who's the real beggar? Are they just trying to protect themselves? I don't know. And, you know, Rothstein said to me that, he said, why do you think I'm still alive? He asked me that question because I go to his house to interview him, and we have a lot of conversations and things. And it's because he knows so much on so many people. And he has things in place that if anything ever happens to him, people are going to be in trouble. And he's not afraid to use his gun. He says, I got my gun right here. And people know I've been in enough shootouts that I'm not afraid of it. And so people know that. But when I first interviewed him, I'm glad I didn't know his background, because I don't know if I would have interviewed him. I would have been too scared to go to his house. But after I interviewed him, he's so kind. He's so kind to the people who are at the lowest level. He had so many informants because he was so kind to everyone. So all the prostitutes, everyone liked him. And because he didn't view people he didn't think they were trash. He thought that they were people worthy of his kindness. And so when I was there, he treated me with respect and was really a good person to me. And so I get to see a different part of him. But if you're a bad guy, watch out. And that's what I respect. I love him. You know, that's the kind of people I want around.
Without a doubt. And you've interviewed so many fascinating people like that. You know, I guess we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break in about 3 minutes. And, you know, I'd like to get some of your thoughts and we can continue afterwards. You know, the population, both of the United States and the world, is so traumatized, so stressed, so at wit's end. You can barely remember what day it is. what can people do to pull themselves back to a sense of calm, a sense of normalcy with supplements, with meditation? What are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, first of all, if there's something, you need to do little things that help you feel like you're helping the situation. A lot of people need that. Depends on what you need, right? If you need to feel like you're helping, get involved locally. Do whatever it takes to, you know, go to your city meeting, start educating people. Even if it's not the big things that are going to get us out of this mess, it's all the little things. It's a million little things all over the place that's going to help us. You know, it's not just one big thing. It's all the little things. We need everybody. We need millions of people speaking up for this to work. And so you getting involved that way hopefully can make you feel better if that's what you need. If you need to calm your mind, you know, you can exercise. You can focus on your love. Turn the TV off for a while. Focus on your loved ones. Get involved in gardening. This is a time to pick up a new hobby. Realize and take all these things that we learned growing up of taking time to be thankful for what we have. Be thankful for what you have. Use this to grow spiritually. Meditate. Yeah. Really work on your stress. Realize that money, if you've lost your job, money's just money. Things are just things. You can move on. And there's other things. Now, if you lose a loved one, that's a lot harder. And losing a loved one is something hard. I've done that. I lost my brother when I was a teenager. That's hard. It takes years. And all I can say is that eventually, you know, it'll get better. And just please stay with it and it will get better. Every day it will get a little bit better. You know, some days it'll get worse, but it does get better. Remember that people love you and there's a lot of people out there struggling through the same things that you are. If you need a support group, find people who are struggling with the same things you are and realize that other people are there for you. And don't be afraid to go against what everyone else is doing. If you can't breathe with a mask, don't wear a mask. Get one of those medical cards that, you know, that they're giving out. Use those I use it because I can't breathe with a mask on. But don't be afraid. There's still going to be people that are going to be pushing back at you, but there's a lot more people that agree with you. I mean, I can go on and on. There's a lot of things that you can do, but hopefully I gave some people some insights on what to do.
Yeah, without a doubt. That was actually pragmatically profound and quite beautiful. I mean, it really is a testament to your wisdom. And here we go at the bottom of the hour break. We'll be back with the final half hour with the wonderful Sarah Westall. Stay tuned.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to the final 30 minutes of The Perfect Triangle. We're here with our very special guest, podcaster extraordinaire, truth teller, cutting-edge news source, Sarah Westall. Be sure to go to sarahwestall.com or YouTube Sarah Westall or BitChute Sarah Westall, but especially Patreon Sarah Westall, because she does this for all of us, but she needs some economic support to take care of her family and to be justly rewarded. You know, that's how things work. Nothing is truly free in this world. And speaking of free and freedom, Revolution Radio needs donations too. So please go to the website and join Patreon for both supporting Sarah and supporting freedomslips.com. Sarah, I want to thank you again for coming. This, when it goes fast, you know, it's a good show and we're heading into the final 30 minutes. So I'm curious, this has been like a global punch to the gut the last 6 months. And how do you see the rest of the year playing out?
You know, it's you have to realize that these people want to take control at all costs, almost. I mean, it is very disconcerting. And I know we just talked about how people can get through this. You know, I believe that the actions show that they want Trump out of office at all costs. You know, they go through all these different events with Russiagate and the Ukraine situation and the impeachment and everything they've been trying to do. And now they're doing these riots and that's backfiring. I think they want to do these mail-in ballots so that they can have a contested election. Tom Fitton, who is with the Justice, you know, the
Judicial Watch.
He is great. And you can take to the bank. And his belief is that they're going to do a contested election. This is coming from him. I almost dropped my jaw because he usually doesn't go that far. And so when you're starting to hear people who are very calculated and careful about everything they say, making comments like this, you know, that behind the scenes, they're very serious about fixing this election. And what they want to do is they want to have a contested election. If it goes through till January 20th, they can put Nancy Pelosi in as acting president. And I think they want to spur a civil war, being honest. And I've been covering a lot of what's going on the Indian reservations. And they now have troops, Chinese have troops in Canada. And they've been selling their assets to Canada for decades, or to China for decades, Canada has. And they just approved legislation that the Chinese can come into Canada and protect their assets. Well, they got a lot of assets. Plus, they have Chinese troops on the Indian reservations because the Indian reservations are big loopholes that don't have to follow the same rules. So now you got all these Chinese troops up there right by our coast, our border. And then I know that Obama brought in over 100,000 Syrians to the Indian reservations. I have very good sources that told me that. And now I'm starting to see documented proof on that. And the concern is that they've been training these people to help with these riots and different things, but they're also training. What are they, you know, what are they training them for? Are they training them to have an insurrection? And that's the concern that I have. And I know the Trump team is on that. They pushed back when Hillary was lost. They had troops. It was called the Red Invasion and so forth. And Trump pushed back those troops. I just did a show on that and how they pushed them back, halved the troops in the south of our border in South America, and really protected us from that angle. But it's not protecting us from the north and other things that they have going on. I know he's working on it. Obviously, we're not privy to everything that's going on. The Oklahoma, they just ceded half of it back to the Indians. What does that mean? And so I have an investigative journalist that I'm working with right now. We're trying to figure out what that means. And she's going to come back on the show. That's Susan Bradford. And she was going to come on this week. And I'm like, let's figure this out first. And then you can come on and we can bring this whole thing together for us. Because this is really serious, what's going on in these Indian reservations. And I'm concerned about it. I do know that the white hats, if you will, are concerned about it too, and so they're looking at that. Did you know that Space Force, you know how there's a secret space program, but there's really two right. secret space programs that are competing, and that Space Force, Trump really took one of the secret space programs and just put it into Space Force so they could legitimize it. And
well, but isn't there the one that Catherine Austin Fitz has documented has stolen like 20 some trillion dollars? It's like a breakaway society. And then there's the one that is more on the books. And isn't that the one that Trump has touted and taken over?
Well, I think they were both pretty much shadowy organizations. They weren't completely on the books. And so Trump took this one as making it legitimate so that they can be on the books and they can just be a legitimate organization. There's still a shadowy one that is out there yet. So, yeah, I mean, it's shadowy, so we don't know everything about it, but there it is. I'm glad that one of them is coming forward because then we'll start to learn more about what's been going on. It'll take time. But this stuff they don't like. They don't want all these things that Trump's doing. When I had this interview with Dwight Mitchell about the Child Protective Services, Donald Trump when he first came in, he did an executive order. Actually, it was 2 years ago. He did an executive order on families come first and that they need to do what they can to keep the families together first. Obviously, if it's an abusive situation and it's bad, you got to get them the hell out of there. But they've been taking a lot of kids away from unworthy families just because they're poor, but they love the child and there's no abuse. And they say that it's neglect, and they're saying it's neglect because the family can't afford to take care of the child, and so they're going to pay somebody else to take care of them for $1,000 a month instead of helping out this family. But regardless, there's all sorts of issues there. And put this child first or family first initiative, so many states are like, oh, we can't figure out how to get this implemented and whatever. He put a new one out 2 months ago, and Dwight told me that this is the first time in over three decades that anybody has done anything to help families and to help this situation with Child Protective Services. So my point on saying that is that these guys do not like Trump. He's actually helping people. He doesn't want to go to war. with China. He's not a war hawk. He's been trying to keep us out of wars. And the military industrial complex, they want us to go to war. So these people don't like him. He's taken down more child traffickers and pedophiles than anybody else in all presidents combined. The mass media will not talk about that. I have it on my front of my website, an article on it. These guys don't like that. They want to get rid of him. They don't like being exposed, and they are being exposed. He's drying up their means of control and making money and being gross criminals. And they don't like it.
Oh, yes. Scorpio. I recently caught your interview with the author of the book, Chemtrails, The New Manhattan Project. And I thought he had some very interesting points about the chemtrails. And I was wondering what your research into weather modification, where it has taken you, because I find these two hurricanes that came up back to back into the Gulf Coast to be very suspicious. And then I guess Laura grew into a category 4, like literally overnight. So clearly these storms are being, you know, moderated and altered somehow. How deeply have you gone into the subject of weather modification and, steering and intensifying storms?
Well, you know, the evidence shows that they've been able to do some of this stuff, and it's weird how these things happen. Right when Trump was going to hit the night before he was going to make his speech, it was kind of weird for me. You know, you don't know. Coincidences do happen, so I don't want to necessarily jump there. But, yeah, they can do some stuff. They can create earthquakes. They can do things. And they've been working on it for a long time. Kirby is the author's name. He just did a wonderful job with this book. I think he wrote a book on chemtrails, and it is the most complete book that's out there. You get a chance and you want to see that. And it's the real deal, and they're messing. What I get worried about is what they're trying to do with us and control us, this technocracy off the chart stuff. You know, some people, if you really want to dive into, you know, the woo-hoo, you know, the woo-woo area, and are they doing it because they need to compete with some alien race and stuff? I mean, there's so many theories out there, but I just don't like them messing with us and trying to control us. And they can, because we're frequency beings, we're electric beings, and everything's frequency. And if they're going to try to put things in our bodies to mess, they already are. And are they doing it even more? And the evidence shows that they probably are. I mean, that's what it's looking like.
Mm.
And it's very
scary.
Yeah,
I think so, too. And, you know, what's really interesting, Sarah, is I was watching the PBS NewsHour just to watch the enemy war footage, essentially. And, you know, they had a story about this Hurricane Laura. And it's interesting, the people that they evacuated on buses because of this storm had to be temperature scanned and have a bracelet on their wrist for identification. So you can see how they're sort of just slow walking and baby stepping people into this idea of, well, you're going to have to be scanned. You're going to have an ID bracelet on. So I just found that interesting how they're kind of tiptoeing us into their agenda through this newest storm.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's not tiptoeing anymore, though. I think they're just implementing. I guess I don't know because I'm not. I wish I was in those meetings where they're talking about things behind the scenes, and how much of it is. This is why I say I don't know for sure, because there's a lot of disinformation, and that's the one thing people got to be careful of, is that there's so much disinformation, and they're doing it to confuse people as much as possible. So I look at actions, I look at things that are really said, and I try to put all the pieces together based on things I can go to the bank with, because of the disinformation being extreme. But based on that, you know, we know that they are planning this and they're going full blown. They are technocracy.
Yeah, you're right. That's actually a very good differentiation there. It's not really slow walking or tiptoeing anymore. They seem to be on a covert timetable that we don't you know that we're not able to discern or know the exact time of, and there seem to be in a very big hurry to move this along very, very rapidly right now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're on a rapid progression. So why? I don't think it's just the reset for monetary means. I used to think that this was a big distraction for monetary, economic system change. But I think it's much broader than that now. I think it's a whole world change. And the economic part is a big part of it, but I think it's a complete globalist takeover.
Oh, absolutely. And they intend to re-engineer the very way that human beings interact with one another. That's what this social distancing is about, and the masking, and you're just another guy with a mask. You're not an individual human. So yes, this goes far beyond the financial aspect, as important as that is.
Yeah, exactly. And so what exactly are they doing, and how far are they going? And I keep working really hard to try to put all these pieces together, but based on things I can take to the bank, where it's solid and as much as possible, because I want people to be able to really trust me. I want people to know that if I say it, I at least put a lot of work into vetting it out. I know I have all sorts of guests, and I can't vet all my guests, and that's okay. I want them to come with different ideas and different opinions and different things. But when I do a report or if I talk, I want people to know that I've vetted it. And so I can throw some stuff out there, like they've had the vaccine ready before. And I tell you, I don't know that for sure, but the actions seem like maybe they have, but I can't vet that. And that's why I tiptoe lightly on some of these things, because I have personally witnessed and been involved in a lot of disinformation behind the scenes. I've seen some really icky behavior and with people that are pretty popular in the independent, if you will, independent media or alternative media. And so I have my allies and people that I work with that I really trust, because I know they're solid. But some of the people that you might think are solid initially end up not being what you think they are. It's very sad when you realize that. You feel really betrayed. But that's why I'm saying you have to be very, very careful who you're getting information from and whether they're vetting what they're vetting. You can't vet all your guests. And when I have my guests on that are about the edge of understanding and we're trying to understand new science, we're trying to understand new ideas, I'm not busy trying to vet their ideas, because that's brainstorming and that's how you move science and understanding. That's different than reporting on events and politics and actions of people during various serious times. Does that make a sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And because there's a big difference, because I don't want to shy away from the brainstorming, the exploring of new ideas and topics. But at the same time, when I'm doing serious reporting, I'm doing serious reporting. And it can get out there, because it is out there. What they're doing is weird and it's out there. And now they're in everybody's faces and people are realizing, yeah, this is weird and it's out there. All these conspiracy theories are real. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, in reality, all you have to do is look at the actions of the elites, of these technocrats, of these traders. And a perfect example is the lies they now tell for COVID-19. Well, you have it, but you're asymptomatic. No, you don't have it. And how the test they use, which is the Serologic PCR test, is absolutely not a diagnostic tool. The manufacturer, the creator says it. It's on the box. And then there's two, I don't know if you're aware of this, there's two versions of the PCR Serologic test. One is qualitative and one is quantitative. They're not even using the quantitative. So this is all smoke and mirrors to drive this mandatory vaccine agenda. And then you've probably seen those charts with Gates and how for the last 10 years he's amassed the total power within the WHO, within Gavi, within all these other NGOs, and it's just insane. And the funny thing is that they're not stopping. And for all the people who are disinformation agents, I guess my point is all you really got to do is look at what they're doing, and it tells you everything you need to know. What do you think of that?
Totally agree. Did you know that in Haiti they had 47,000 NGOs working out of Haiti, and it's still as screwed up as it is? If that doesn't tell you that the NGOs are really a front for a lot of nefarious activities, I don't know what else does. Now, not all NGOs are bad, obviously. There are some good, well-meaning people, but a lot of them are just fronts for skimming money and doing nefarious activities.
Well, what's interesting is the NGOs, and earlier in the show you mentioned Gates and the Rockefellers and all these other billionaires use philanthropic organizations to seem like they're doing so much, but in reality it's a huge tax dodge and a huge ability to amass power outside of government control. It's just always so narcissistic, so an agenda to serve their own needs. It's just ridiculous.
Well, they figure out ways they can skim off the citizens and take tax dollars because it's a huge pile of money and it's not very well tracked. And so it brings in criminals from every angle to skim off taxpayers. And the NGOs is the greatest way to do it because they can legally do it and they look like good guys and people won't question them as much. And, you know, we're waking up now. People need to be on notice. We're waking up that you NGOs aren't all good. So you better start doing, you know, transactions that are open and that we can audit and we can see what you're actually doing. Because a lot of these NGOs, if they hide, they're not transparent, then you got to question what they're doing. And if they never accomplish anything, I want to see results. Don't go over there and talk like you're going to do. Show us results.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the NGOs and the various problems they're causing. You know, Vladimir Putin actually had very good press coverage until he kicked all the NGOs out of Russia, and that's when things really began to turn south for any kind of positive coverage towards Russia.
Yep. Well, and because he didn't want them trafficking their children anymore. And so he said, hell with this, I want you guys out of here. He barred certain countries for even adopting children from Russia because he didn't trust that these kids were going to be.
Well, sure. And he was tired of these NGOs meddling in the affairs of the Russian government and the Russian people and trying to. And you know, it's amazing how also they made it illegal to propagandize children with homosexual ideology. And of course that means that, Putin and Russia hate homosexuals, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's the same bullshit. They can turn anything and that's what they do. And so you have to be smarter. We have to be smarter. And the problem is we've been naive for so long. We're not naive anymore. We cannot be naive like this.
Right. You cannot trust public institutions. You cannot trust corporate institutions. It's interesting that I don't know if you picked this up in the last 10 days or so, Sarah, that the government is joining forces with Edward Bernays-like Yale mind rapist to come up with the correct public relations campaign to convince people to take the first coronavirus when it arrives, evidently by November, according to Trump. And it is some of the article stated some of the possibilities are shaming, appealing to patriotism, appealing to your care for your fellow human.
The Yale study. Yeah.
And I don't think any of those will work that well. And I think that the latest.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you might be right. But where I'm going with this for the question is that. Right now, there it was 42% said they'd take it a week ago. The latest survey was down to 39%. Well, let's just keep it at 40%. So 40% people come November get this shot. And there is no way if you've done any research, you know that what is going to happen is just like what happened with the swine flu RNA vaccine is at first it'll seem like it's working. Then the coronavirus will mutate, but the person's system won't know how to handle the mutation and it will freak out and create a cytokine storm and start to kill lots of people. And where do you think it's going to go then? How do you think people will react then?
Well, I'm very happy it's down to 40%. I haven't seen that. So what we're talking and doing is working. Now, when they tested, I know the Moderna one, when they tested healthy, the healthiest people, you couldn't have any problems. You couldn't have any past respiratory. No one in your family could have past respiratory. You couldn't, you know, you weren't a smoker. You weren't all these things. So they had, with the higher dose, they had, 22% that were hospitalized, and the lower dose was 6% hospitalized. Now, what are you going to do when you actually deal with the people who need the vaccine, supposed need, and, you know, I got my little fingers going up. Because anybody who is healthy doesn't die from this thing. It's the people with comorbidities and the elderly. Okay, so now you're getting the unhealthy taking it. And you had those kind of results with the people who were the healthiest of the, you know, the cream of the crop. Now you're giving the people who really supposedly need it, and they aren't healthy. So what's the vaccine going to do? It sounds like the vaccine is going to be worse than the virus itself. But I don't know. I mean, that's what the facts show. Of course.
And the vaccine, I believe, will have a slow kill element into it, among other things, possibly DNA altering properties, and maybe a little bit of contraception thrown in as well.
Well, but I think that's for the healthy. I'd like to know what's in that vaccine, and I think we'll find out. Because if they did what Bill Gates and company did in Africa, you know, I don't put anything past these guys. But as far as immediate hospitalizations, I think the people with comorbidities, the people that is supposed to help, I think it might kill them right away. I don't know. I mean, that's what these results of these first trials are showing, is the people who are most susceptible to coronavirus, this vaccine is going to just hospitalize them and kill them right away. And then the rest, what's it going to do? I think that's what the trial results are showing, based on the fact that the absolute healthiest ones still produced that many hospitalizations.
Well, I don't know. Are you aware of the Russian search engine? I can't think of the name of it, something with a Y. And there was coverage that they did a secret test in the Ukraine of this mRNA virus and high dosage, and it killed 8 of the test recipients immediately, and 12 were hospitalized in deathly condition, and so they were like, not a mention of it in the Western media. And so,
well, that's what I mean. Anybody with the comorbidity, the people who are the most susceptible to coronavirus, might just die immediately. That's what, and that looks like that test showed that's probably true.
Sarah, perfect way to end it. Thank you so much for being our featured guest. I hope you'll return someday soon. It's just been an honor and a pleasure. And SarahWestall.com, thank you very much, everyone.
Thank
Coming
you.
Up, Kevin Barrett and Truth Jihad. Good night, everyone.
Listening to Revolution.